the rest of the story. Once upon a time, there was a stretch of Coney Island boardwalk that ran all the way from Feldman's Astro Land to the Steeplechase Park. A wooden plank pathway prowled by a stilt walker named Archie. He was an absurd-looking creature in his pink and white costume with a striped top hat and cutaway jacket, enormous bell-bottom trousers that concealed the stilts, and the absurdity was exaggerated by his tremendous height, some 16 feet from his head to the ground. With a touch of realism, a pair of size 14 shoes affixed to the ends of Archie's stilts peeked out from beneath the billowing bell-bottoms, and at first distant glimpse, it might have appeared that a real giant had invaded Coney Island. Archie had been a stilt walker for as long as anybody could remember. At the age of 6 and a half, he had joined a famous troupe of acrobats called the Penders, and they were more than acrobats, really. They tumbled and they danced like the Russian Cossacks, and they entwined themselves like human pretzels. When the Penders traveled abroad, Archie went with them, and in no time, that tiny boy had become professionally proficient in every aspect of the trade, and especially as a stilt walker. In those days, many theatrical stages sloped toward the audience, and that made stilt walking all the more arduous. Archie's stilts were so tall that a ladder was needed to place him on top of them, and yet his skill and his inclination was such that after a few years' flirtation with formal education, he returned to the Penders at age 14 and accompanied them, as he had in childhood, to New York. Archie's happiest experience was one three-month tour of the Eastern States with Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. He was 17 by then, a seasoned performer, but he would never outgrow the intoxication of the bright colors and the brass bands and the sawdust and the grease paint. It's hard to tell when things started going downhill for the stilt walker. Maybe it was after he took that solo job stilt walking through New York's Times Square. No longer embraced by the joyful circus atmosphere, Archie found himself stranded atop 10-foot pegs in a silly get-up, be draped with a mammoth advertising sandwich board, barking out promotions through a megaphone, beleaguered by bands of young hoodlums who mocked him and otherwise sought to interfere. From there, Archie went to Coney Island, which he liked even less, and yet which, for the sake of feeding himself, he endured. You could have seen him most any day, smiling through the frustration and self-deprecation, putting on the happy face he'd practiced through years of professional crowd-pleasing, stalking the boardwalk between Feldman's and Steeplechase, down in the depths, 16 feet in the air. That the time came when enough was enough is the stuff of which show business history is made. Some say it was a carnival clown named Don Barclay who was feeling sorry for Archie and told him it was time to move on to better things. But I hope now you will have a permanent mental picture of a young stiltwalker named Archie Leach. He could have contented himself with Barnum and Bailey. He might have reconciled himself to carrying a sandwich board in Times Square or on Coney Island. But instead, he climbed down from his acrobat's perch and ascended to the pinnacle of another profession. And in that next profession, he became the man you know as the dashing, dapper Cary Grant. Only now, you know the rest of the story.